Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are also podcasting. The website is santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can listen to the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show by going straight to iTunes, looking up Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and adding it to your list. I would like now to welcome some special guests this morning. Singer Rankin is with us right here in the Santa Fe Baking Company. She's the founder and director of World Women Work. It's so great to have you, Singer.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And joining us by telephone is Peck Ewer. He is a filmmaker, and his film Losing the Elephants is going to be screening on Friday night at the Lensic as part of the Rivers and Birds International Wildlife Film Festival. Welcome, Peck.
Thanks.
We're here to talk about the film. We're also here to talk about public radio, which we're going to do just for a moment before we get to talking about this incredible film, Losing the Elephants. Public radio is a non-commercial medium. It comes to you through listener contributions. It comes to you through the contributions that you folks are making right now by picking up the telephone and calling 428-1393, 428-1393, or from out of area 1-866-907-KSFR. That's 866-907-5737. I was talking to our wonderful friend and colleague Sean Conlon at the radio station the other day, and he made a wonderful calculation. He said, if you're listening to commercial radio 10 hours a week, let's say 5 hours, 5 days, 2 hours a day, weekdays, then you are enduring 150 to 170 hours of commercials per year. That's based on an estimate of about 17 to 20 minutes of commercials per hour. Now, 150 hours of your life is squandered listening to commercials. Non-commercial radio, like KSFR, gives you underwriting announcements, but they are very few and far between. Maybe 2 minutes, 1 minute, at most 5 minutes per hour. How would you like to get those $150 hours back? Are you willing to pay for that? Are you willing to make a contribution? If you are, call us right now. Make a contribution to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, which is the ultimate non-commercial radio, along with Democracy Now!, along with our music programs, along with Bill Dupuis' News Hour and the BBC, 428-1393. We are waiting for your call. We are waiting for your contribution because every single bit counts. It's like we're trying to fill this giant pot, and if everybody puts in a penny, the thing will be filled. If everybody puts a drop, the thing will be filled. Nobody can do it by themselves. Everybody needs to put in just a little bit. 428-1393. We will thank you on the air if you want. We will not say your name if you don't want. Singer, you are a long-term listener to public radio?
Yes. And I was just listening this morning on my way in to meet you. The BBC and what is going on in Burma. And we are so fortunate to have KSFR in Santa Fe, and we all need to support it. And World Women Work has given 5 sets of tickets to the Wild Film Festival on Friday evening. And Mary Charlotte, I'm not good at this, but please, give as much as you possibly can. I say at least $60.
Well, for $75, you can get a pair of the tickets to KSFR by calling 428-1393. And for $35, you can get a CD of the program. For all sorts of other amounts that they can tell you on the telephone, you can get wonderful KSFR stuff.
Oh, good for Mary Charlotte.
Like hats and T-shirts and so on. But we're going to be talking about this film, Losing the Elephants, in just a half a minute. But go to your phone right now. Please give us a call, 428-1393. I also feel good when people who say they support the Santa Fe Radio Cafe or they like it actually call in and as we say, put their money where their mouth is. Even if it's a small contribution, even if, you know, my money is a little tight, belts are tightened this year for whatever reason, any contribution of any size will do. If you care about, if you support, if you value, if you need, if you eat for breakfast, public radio, call 428-1393 or 866-907-5737. Let's turn now to Peck Ewer, who is patiently waiting for us on the telephone. You made this film, which is going to be screening on Friday night at the Lenzic, called Losing the Elephants. And this is particularly about elephants in Asia. How did you start doing this work? How did you come across this story?
My mom turned me on to it, who's sitting right next to you.
That's right.
And she had a friend who had been to a rehabilitation sort of park in Thailand where these elephants are that, you know, used to work, used to be abused, and then they are bought and brought to this place and get to live out their days in a happy place. But she had heard about it and asked me if I had wanted to potentially make a film about it. And, you know, this is what I do and have been doing for 15 years or so. And I thought it, maybe it's not such a great idea to work for your mom, but I ended up doing it, and it was a great idea to do it because it's a great story. Elephants are, you know, I thought I knew a lot about elephants just because they're part of our popular culture, and you go to the zoo and the circus, and you see Asian elephants every time you do that, but I didn't know much anything about them until I did this.
It's amazing how much elephants are abused and used as work animals. There's even a real analogy to slavery in the way that they are trained and broken and really mistreated.
Yeah, the thing that's, I mean, a lot of animals are broken. Horses are broken, you know, but with an elephant, there's a lot going on in their brain. Their cognitive abilities, they've already proven, are on the same sort of wavelength as apes and chimpanzees and dolphins and humans. And so while that doesn't make it right to, you know, abuse any other animal, it's just when you know it's almost as smart as you are and you're doing this to it, then it sort of makes it even more poignant.
What kind of work are they used for, the Asian elephants?
Well, it depends on what country you're in, but in Thailand it used to be for logging and now just for tourist rides, but or any the tourist industry essentially. But they used to be used as literally just heavy machinery, just to haul logs out of the forest when they were cut down, and that, you know, sounds kind of bucolic, but then you start looking at the pictures of where they're doing it and how they're doing it, and they beat them like you wouldn't believe.
Some of those elephants are actually rescued after their terrible days in logging. They actually have some place where they can go and live out their lives.
Yeah, there are places, a couple places, and that's the whole point of the film, is to point that out as a way to kind of, because you can, you know, build a whole ecotourism business around that by, you buy the ex-logging animals, you put them essentially on bought public or private land, and then, you know, you can have tourists come, and you don't have to ride them. You can hang out with them. You can give them a bath in the river. You can do whatever. I mean, it's much more interactive than just sitting on top of them and riding around for 20 minutes and then going and buying a chach at the gift shop and leaving, which is what most of the tourist elephant scenes like.
Do elephants like to be ridden?
Hard to say. I don't think they're probably super crazy about it, because the rig they put up on their back is, you know, it's all welded iron, and that in itself probably weighs a couple hundred pounds, and then you throw a couple slightly overweight tourists on there, and the guy sitting on its neck who drives it, and all of a sudden you got 1,000 pounds on your back.
When did you first see elephants in the wild, or did you, or have you seen them only in captivity?
I had been to Africa before and had seen African elephants in the wild, and that's a totally different experience, just because they literally are in the wild. I mean, they're used to seeing some tourists drive around in jeeps every now and then, but they're truly wild. And, you know, I know there are wild populations in Asia, but there are not very many of them, and they're small, and they're on their way out. So this is kind of the idea in Asia is really you just buy up the elephants that are for sale, and you buy the land for them, and you put them on it.
We're talking to Peck Ewer. And by the way, tickets to, it's not only the film Losing the Elephants, but a number of films in the International Wildlife Film Festival, Rivers and Birds, is at the Lenzic on Friday night. It's a whole bunch of films. And for a contribution of $75, you can get a pair of tickets from KSFR and go to this film. We've had a generous donation from Singer Rankin and World Women Work of 5 pairs of tickets. When they're gone, they're gone. So make your contribution right now by calling 428-1393 and go to this incredible film festival this weekend. Singer, how did you become aware of the elephants in, was it in Thailand?
In Thailand, yes. A very good friend knew that I was going to be in Thailand and asked me to go and meet Lek, who has started the Elephant Sanctuary. And I did. I got to the Chiang Mai airport expecting to be picked up and wasn't. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? Anyway, we met up, and I drove with her for about 45 minutes to the sanctuary. And she told me the stories of the elephants that have been rescued, I just burst into tears. And it was one of the most heart-rending times to listen to this woman who was so committed to what she was doing. And as I understand it, and Peck, you correct me anytime, her grandfather was a shaman of a northern hill tribe in Thailand, and somebody had given him an elephant as a thank you, and she grew up with this elephant and became committed. She obviously became very attached, and they were soulful companions.
The way one would be with any pet or
yeah,
a dog.
But, I mean, an elephant, to me, standing next to an elephant is one of the most, amazing experiences. And they are so big, and they are so gentle, and they look at you. I mean, you just feel as though you're one. And anyway, the horror of what was going on from with all the ex-logging elephants that were being put into the tourist industry, the illegal logging that was still going on and is going on in Cambodia and Burma today, and what was happening to these elephants. So she decided that she was going to start a sanctuary. And I know Peck will tell you more, I will too, about some of the elephants that are there. But
this woman is like the Jane Goodall of elephants, essentially.
She is exactly like the Jane Goodall of elephants. And she's just one of the most amazing people I have ever met. And to be there, to sleep there at night under a thatched roof, and know that all these 30-some elephants are all around you that have been saved from horrific places is one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had.
We're talking to Singer Rankin and Peck Ewer by telephone. And once again, if you would like a pair of tickets to the film festival, Wildlife Film Festival on Friday night, 428-1393. Peck, the number of elephants in Asia has dwindled tremendously in the 20th century. What are the reasons for that?
I think it's all pretty much population explosion. If you think about
human population explosion.
Yeah, human population. There's how many, 6.25 billion people on the planet now, and about half of them are in Asia. So that's the problem, is it's population. The population of Thailand, I was doing my kind of initial research, was about, I think it was 8 million or something like that at the turn of the century, and now it's 76 or something. So, you know, when populations are not just doubling, they're, you know, quintupling in 100 years, it's just, especially an animal that's big like an elephant that requires a lot of land and resources, they're pretty much screwed. So that's the problem, is Asia's population.
And it also brings into question that there are many people who are having conversations over coffee in the cafe and so on about the problem or non-problem of overpopulation, human population, and do we have enough food, and do we have enough water, and do we have enough energy? But the question rarely arises is, what land are we taking over, and what other creatures are we displacing? when our own populations grow. And this is a striking example of that. Do elephants still live in the wild in Thailand, or are they now all in sanctuaries?
Nobody could give you a straight answer on. They're not studied the way African elephants are, the wild population, so they don't. You know, there's not a bunch of biologists studying them and taking censuses and all that stuff. So nobody could give you a straight answer, but the guess was between 150 and 250 wild animals left in Thailand, and those are broken up into a couple groups. So as far as being a functional, sustainable population in the wild, they aren't. So now the wild population is just basically kind of living out its last gasp in Thailand. I think Burma's probably got a wild population. India has some bigger parks where they do have wild populations. But, you know, the notion of having wild Asian elephants roaming the forests is kind of, that's not going to happen. So that's the whole point of trying to point out Lex Elephant Nature Park, which is the thing in Thailand, which is really the only viable alternative. I mean, everybody would sit around and talk about how do you solve the problem? And that was the conclusion. So it's all money-based. You know, you can buy every elephant's for sale, and that's good and bad. I mean, it's good in that you can buy them all, so you just need to get the resources together.
One of the things that I found so interesting is that elephants are symbols of the qualities of the Buddha. Tell us about that.
Well, that if you go to any Buddhist country, I guess, and Thailand was the first one I had been to, but there are elephant icons everywhere. You know, you can't spit without hitting an elephant statue or an elephant painting. So they play a huge part in Buddhist tradition. And that's kind of the irony of it, is that, you know, they really are held up as these holy animals, and yet, you know, they get treated like rented mules.
They're also quite similar to human beings in certain significant ways, which, as you say, are shared by very few species on the planet. And one of those ways is actual self-awareness. Tell us about that.
They did a mirror experiment with elephants at the Bronx Zoo a couple years ago, and the way to test self-awareness is to have, you know, in a controlled scenario, you mark an animal somewhere, and then you put a mirror in front of them and see how they react. And so far they had done that with chimps and bonobos, which are chimp-like, and I think bottlenose dolphins, all of who had shown that they recognize their reflection in the mirror. If an animal doesn't, it will either attack what it's looking at or act as it would if it saw another of its own kind.
Or if they're my little dogs, they're just confused and they run away from it.
Yeah, exactly, if they even notice the mirror, you know. But an animal that's self-aware will stop, look, start doing specific behaviors, and then eventually you can get to the point where if you mark it, it will then touch the mark, and chimps will start looking in their mouth and picking their teeth, and elephants would, when they did the experiment, the elephants would come over and eat in front of the mirror and would only touch the mark that they had on their head, which, you know, there was controls set up and everything else. But anyhow, they could prove that elephants are aware that they're looking at their own reflection, and that's a huge marker for intelligence.
They're intelligent animals, and they're also very long-lived. How long do animals live? I mean, elephants.
Elephants pretty much mirror humans in their life cycle. They have
except for the 22-month pregnancy part.
Yeah, their gestation pregnancy lasts almost twice as long, or it does last twice as long, a little bit more. So that's the other thing. You know, you can't pound on them and reduce their population and expect them to spring back like a fish that has a million eggs. You know, they have fewer offspring than humans do, so they don't rebound at all.
Do they ever have twins?
I have no idea.
We're talking to Peck Ewer. His film is called Losing the Elephants, and it is screening on Friday night at the Lenzic Theater at 7 o'clock as part of the International Wildlife Film Festival, Rivers and Birds. It is a, I guess, medium-length feature among many other short films that are screening this Friday and Saturday. If you want to go on Friday, if you want to see Losing the Elephants and some of the other great films that are there, you can give us a call right now, 428-1393, and make a contribution to KSFR.
Mary Charlotte?
Yes.
Got some thank yous here.
Oh, goody.
Jack Lehman. Thank you, Jack.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
Jane Davis.
Thank you, Jane.
Merritt Bennett.
Merritt Bennett.
Wendy Childs.
Okay.
Robert Payne.
Fabulous.
And from Anonymous, a special note to Amy Goodman and Mary Charlotte, two precious women of substance.
I know Anonymous.
And I know a miniseries with that name.
Anonymous was a great painter.
Mm-hmm.
428-1393 is the number. If you're calling out of area, 1-866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. Have we given away all the pairs of tickets?
Nope, we still have some tickets.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I want to sell these tickets out right now. 428-1393. We must not have one pair left by 9:15. So go to your phones and go to it.
Please do.
428-1393 if you're calling locally. And you know, if you are listening on the web, and I know we have listeners, for example, in Boulder, Colorado, we have listeners in Virginia, we have listeners in Rhode Island and Massachusetts.
We had a contribution this morning from somebody who listens online in Jersey City.
Jersey City?
Mm-hmm.
I would say the New Jersey alphabet if there weren't FCC regulations against it.
Well, that was tasteful.
No, Jersey City. We are so delighted. No, we really do have listeners living all over the place who actually tune into KSFR. I'm in correspondence with some of them by email, and this is what it's all about. So those guys can call from out of area at 866-907-5737. You can also pledge online. You go to ksfr.org, ksfr.org. Hit pledge now and go to it. Let's turn back to Peck Ewer. Elephants are intelligent animals, as you describe them. They're also very social animals. They are what you might call the family values large species besides humans.
Yeah, they probably got us beat in that department. They don't just use it as a political slogan. The female group stays together forever, so each generation is folded into the mix, and as one dies off, they're replaced, but they don't ever split, and they raise the baby elephants. So, you know, you'll have a cousin, an aunt, and then even unrelated females taking care of the babies, and they have wet nurses that works. So it's pretty intense.
And There was discussion in the film about whether really it's a matriarchy or whether the children are in charge.
Yeah, that was, I mean, you know, it is a matriarchal society, but I think when you see a bunch of females around a young baby, it's amazing how gentle they are, and they, I mean, it's really, it's all geared towards taking care of the kids.
And they have children every few years. How big given the absence of human intervention, how big would an elephant clan be, a large extended family, the groups who know each other and who roam around together?
I'm, you know, not 100% sure. I think that maybe my mom could tell you better, but at least in Africa, I know, you know, you can get dozens of animals in a matriarch group, and then, you know, I think it'll split out. There might be a couple groups then that are all loosely related that will travel around in the same area. So it can start to add up to hundreds of animals, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I think one of the things that the nature park, which is so incredible, is the fact that all of these elephants have come from diverse places, and they come and they form groups, and to watch this happen is quite amazing. And so there'll be you know, a whole group of aunties who will adopt one little baby. And isn't it, Peck? It's just awesome to see. And there's a story which is in the film of an older elephant who is blind. And all of a sudden, he is adopted by, or he adopts, a friend. And literally, they are inseparable. And when he gets into a hot spot and shrieks, I would call elephant communication that we can hear, all of a sudden, his friend just comes running. And it's as though they haven't seen each other for years. They wrap trunks around each other. They nudge one another. It's just awesome, isn't it, Peck?
And so one elephant actually served kind of as a seeing eye elephant for the other, essentially.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I mean, these are the sad stories. I'm sure many of them didn't even make it into the film, but the elephant who was blinded by humans who were shooting in his eyes with a slingshot.
We just recently, this spring, an elephant, Elek bought, whom had been in a logging camp in Cambodia, and her name is Lana, and her eyes, the Mahouts, for some unknown reason, think that by shooting an elephant in an eye with a slingshot is going to make them work harder.
Heavens.
So she had been blinded, basically, in both eyes. They think the sight is coming back in one eye. But this is a very common occurrence that they're shot in the eyes.
Ouch.
Indeed. We're talking about the film Losing the Elephants, which is screening this Friday night at the Lenzic as part of the Rivers and Birds Wildlife Film Festival, to which we are giving away tickets, and I hope, dearly hope, that they have all been taken now. 428-1393, make a contribution to KSFR and see this tremendous film, as well as many others. I mean, with these elephants, with their tremendous intelligence, with their long lives, and also their memories. I mean, there's this cliche from childhood, the person has a memory like an elephant. What's the truth to that? Do they really do have these long memories?
The only thing I had heard was that cliche, and then somebody had actually, who worked with some zoo or circus Asian elephants, basically they, and this was on Good Morning America or something like that about a year ago, but these elephants that had been split up probably 35 years before were reunited inadvertently at a zoo, and they, you know, the handlers saw them, and they literally kind of hugged each other, you know, as much as elephants can hug each other, but
And your film shows that they can. There's a whole lot of cute elephant affection going on in the movie.
Yeah, they're real, you know, with the trunk obviously is like the most articulate hand in the world, so they're constantly using it to touch each other, and they do. I mean, they literally will kind of like rub each other's backs and stuff sometimes.
And so these elephants who hadn't seen each other for years were reunited at a circus and had a little reunion.
Yeah, apparently there was no doubt that, and then when they did the backstory on them, it turned out that they had been stuck in a zoo somewhere for years together. So, yeah, they hold on to those memories like we do.
So what is the best possible outcome for elephants in Thailand today? More reserves, larger, what would you call it, habitat reservations or what?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's the conclusion everybody came to, which is you just got to buy the animals and buy the land and then set up the infrastructure, which means just hiring the people to run the program. So, yeah, if there are approximately 1,500 elephants left in Thailand, you know, conceivably by the time you kind of mobilize and get your act together, there's probably 500 of them are gone. So, you know, it's buying 1,000 animals, which, I mean, we can spend $1 trillion in Iraq, so certainly it's not hard to throw money at things. It's the American way. So we're going to try and
use this. And sometimes it even works.
Yeah, it totally works. And we're going to try and use this as a fundraiser. And, you know, there are plenty of people who years' investment income could solve Thailand's elephant problems. They could buy everyone, including the land, and then, you know, hire the people to run it. But again, you're in foreign countries, so you have to enroll people from those countries to be a big part of it. I mean, in Thailand, obviously, you don't have the problem with Lek, but what if Lek, you know, something happened to Lek? Then you need another Thai to kind of pick it up.
Lek is this woman who is what I think of as the Jane Goodall of elephants. Is she training or working with people who can follow in her work? I mean, she's certainly not old, but is she unique, or are there others who can do what she does?
Well, I mean, I think she's unique, but there definitely has to be some sort of, you can't just buy them and then say, okay, now deal with them. You have to think about the people side of things. So I don't know. I mean, you see Lek, and she's sort of a cult of personality. She's everything, and she's this huge, powerful, energetic person. So she's single-handedly made it happen. I mean, not single-handedly in that she does have people helping her, but, you know, without her, it wouldn't work. So you got to have more Leks, and I don't know, you know, how you do that.
We're talking to Peck Ewer about the film Losing the Elephants. Once again, 428-1393. We're hoping all the tickets are gone, but just in case, you can call and make a contribution to KSFR. Get a pair of tickets to this and the many other films in the Rivers and Birds Festival on Friday night. 428-1393. I give the phone number so often because when I don't, people call and say, hey, you don't give the phone number often enough. And then I give it a lot, and they say, you give it too much. We're trying to find that happy medium, that happy balance here on KSFR, 1-866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. With all the abuse that elephants have gone through with logging, with being blinded, with being separated, I mean, just putting an elephant in a cage and separating it from its social group, from its family, is really like putting a human being in jail. It's very similar. When they are reunited with other elephants, are they able to really heal from their abuse? I mean, do they have, you know, is there something equivalent to elephant therapy?
Well, yeah, apparently, you know, when they bring a new animal into the park, they have all sorts of strange behaviors when they've been isolated or, you know, in an abusive situation, but those all tend to go away over a fairly short period of time. She said, you know, some will recover in days, and some might take 6 months to a year where they'll stop exhibiting the strange behaviors, but you know, because they have the same kind of, you're talking about the same life expectancy as us, they do, there's a lot of time to work with. I mean, some people would argue there's not, but they tend to all recover. I mean, they have one there that killed its handler, and it is still fairly sort of shell-shocked. So, you know, they do kind of say, hey, you want to avoid that one. But most of them bounce back, and as soon as they're allowed to hang out and make their own decisions and form the groups they want to form, they tend to get pretty happy pretty quick.
Now, we were talking a moment ago about the sounds that they make. To what extent do elephants have language?
One of the characters in the film is a acoustic biologist, and she has spent years recording and analyzing and trying to figure out what is what. And they have, I can't remember the exact details on, you know, how many unique sounds they have, but it's a lot. And they think that, you know, they use auditory communication for a lot of things. And they also have the benefit of being able to do subsonic, it's ultrasonic or something like that, and it's essentially outside of our hearing range, but they, in Africa at least, will communicate. She discovered this at a zoo, actually, in Portland, Oregon, but they communicate using really low-frequency rumbling as well as stuff that we can hear, and the low-frequency
amazing
stuff can travel for three, four, 5 miles.
Have we gotten to the point where we understand what they're actually saying to one another?
I don't think so. But I think that she can make some educated guesses sometimes, and she says that, you know, sometimes it's just emotional outbursts. And, you know, she said after mating, lots of other elephants will come into the area and everybody's kind of squawking and making a lot of noise just because, she said, you know, it's a hugely emotional experience and everybody wants to kind of say their piece about it.
We're talking to Peck Ewer. So, having done all of this, what is your relationship? You've made this film. What is your relationship now to the situation of the elephants in Thailand and in Asia beyond the borders of Thailand?
Well, you know, we're thinking about expanding the film some more. It's right now, it's essentially a half-hour film, and turning it into an hour. Then the other thing is just using it as a fundraising tool to start getting people to give their money to solve the problem. So that's the biggest goal right now is, you know, we can all sit around and watch fun elephant movies, but really there won't be any elephants to make movies of if we don't start taking care of that end of things.
428-1393 is the number. Make your contribution to KSFR. Get the word out about elephants. Get the word out about wildlife conservation. This is part of what public radio is all about, is getting the word out about the various things that need to be talked about in the society in which we live. Not the fluff. Not the shallow stuff. Not the superficial stuff. It's the actual stuff that matters, which is the web of life on planet Earth. Yes?
Hi.
Hi, Dal.
A couple of quick thank yous. Elizabeth McRae, thank you so much, for your contribution. And Diane Garcia. Diane, you may remember from last fund drive, Mary Charlotte, is the one with the 13 cats.
Oh, 13 cats.
She can't wait for the vote again of cats versus dog people.
Yes, 1 week from today we're going to have cats versus dogs, which is better, vote with your dollars.
This is always my favorite part of the fund drive.
But don't wait. You can vote again then, but vote with your dollars now. Vote for elephants by calling KSFR at 428-1393. Have we given away all the tickets, Dal?
Nope. We've still got a ticket or two, I believe. And we also have a couple of underwriting spots if you want to stick them in now.
Hey, let's hear them.
Starting Friday, September 21st, the George O'Keefe Museum presents George O'Keefe and the Women of the Stieglitz Circle. These powerful and sensual works paved the way for George O'Keefe and future generations of women artists. For more information, call 505-946-1000. This message sponsored by the George O'Keefe Museum, a tax-exempt organization. KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Garcia Street Books and their owners Eva and Edward Borens, celebrating more than 30 years as booksellers. Located at 376 Garcia Street, where adventurer Peter Heller will celebrate the publication of his newest book, The Whale Warriors, The Battle at the Bottom of the World to Save the Planet's Largest Mammals, on Monday, October 1st at 5 p.m. More information at 986-0151 or garciastreetbooks.com.
And we're back in the cafe. Peck Ewer, filmmaker of Losing the Elephants, on the line with us, and Singer Rankin, founder and director of World Women Work, who's been very patient and quiet much of this hour.
Mary Charlotte, I started off about the fund drive and about the tickets and didn't quite have the amount right. But I want to say that I am absolutely thrilled to be here. Not only as a promoter, a passionate promoter of this film and of the lives of elephants, but also to be able to say how incredible I think KSFR is. And it really is everybody's responsibility in this community to support KSFR. And as Mary Charlotte just said, it stands for all the things that we care deeply about and that... It seems in the world we live in today become increasingly difficult to get an honest outlook, answer, or whatever of what is going on in the world. So I wouldn't be here if it weren't for elephants. And I just am thrilled. And I, World Women Work is a passionate supporter of women and endangered species. And I think that public radio fits right in there. So please, please, please support and do buy tickets. and come on Friday night. Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
428-1393 and 428-1393, 866-907-KSFR, 866-90.75737. I think it's really worth talking about the dovetail between what public radio does. We are ourselves a nonprofit. We are not about making money. We are about doing public service as public radio. But we also are working very much with the nonprofit institutions, especially in New Mexico and especially in Santa Fe, like yours, like many of the other institutions that are trying to get the word out about what they are doing. And all of it on some level or another is healing work, is cultural work, is endangered species work, is basically trying to restore a sense of balance and compassion to the communities in which we live, both wild and cultural communities. How do you get the word about that? How do you get people talking about it? How do you get people thinking about it? We do that through public radio. I get so many people who comment on my show, about the show. They say, boy, you know, we never thought about that before, or that was such an interesting thing, it made me think. There are people who have conversations, and I hear this all the time, people talking about what was on Democracy Now! That day. You know, it's information that you don't necessarily have if you just read the corporate media or watch, you know, 22 minutes of news in a half an hour crammed in with all the commercials and so on.
Absolutely. We are very, very lucky to have it, and I think everybody at KSFR is just absolutely outstanding, and I listen as much as I possibly can to Mary Charlotte, to the BBC, to Amy Goodman.
Are you up this early usually?
I'm up earlier. And anyway, I think I have something in common with Mary Charlotte. But I'm going to vote right now as a cat person.
Oh, no.
And then as an elephant person, and then as a dog person.
Well, we can agree on the elephants. Peck, you were still on the phone with us from San Francisco. When was the last time you were back in Thailand?
I've only been once, and that was to shoot the bulk of this film, and that was last November.
And what was it like for you? Did people immediately understand what you were doing? Did it take a while to lay the groundwork for you to be able to make the film?
Not really. I mean, you know, we shot primarily at Lex Reserve, so everybody's on the same page there. So it was pretty easy, actually.
Wonderful footage of elephants. Do you come from a wildlife documentary background, or what other kinds of films have you done?
I did start out doing natural history documentaries or working for somebody that did, and then I became a cameraman, and we did mostly underwater stuff, but I then have been doing sort of my own thing, some of which is or sort of science-y documentaries, a little bit of human interest, but yeah, that my initial background was nature.
428-1393 is the number. We want to make sure that every single pair of tickets that was generously donated by World Women Work is gone by the time this show ends. Maybe they're gone already. 428-1393. Grab that pair of tickets to the Rivers and Birds International Wildlife Film Festival on Friday nights. Many other films will be there. There's also a children's matinee the next day at the Jean Cocteau Cinema at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But mainly it's Friday and Saturday at the Lensic at 7 o'clock. 428-1393. We've got the Friday tickets right here for you. Check in with the control room. How are things going over at KSFR? Are the phones ringing, ladies and gentlemen? Are they buzzing? Are you making our volunteers work as hard as they've ever worked?
I'm not sure, Mary Charlotte. Let me go in and check, and I'll be right back with you in a moment.
All right. You're listening to KSFR 90.7 FM and 101.1 FM. One of the reasons why we are asking for donations this year, we ask every 6 months for people to send donations, is that we have done an upgrade to our signal. We are switching to 101.1 FM. We're simulcasting right now on the two frequencies. But when we move finally to 101.1 FM, with luck and the grace of God, we will have a signal that goes all the way from Albuquerque to Taos, so that more listeners can get in with KSFR and listen to the tremendous programs, listen to the BBC, and so on. It takes money to do that. Signals, transmitters, equipment, about which I understand little or nothing. These things are not free. They require technicians. They require machinery. They require skill to get those things up and running, to fix them when they break.
Oh.
All of the things that we do at KSFR.
Hey, Mary Charlotte.
Yes.
Two pair of tickets are left.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, get on it right now. 4281393. I'd like you to make, Singer, I'd like you to make a call out to your friends.
I just think it's terrible. I can't imagine. Please, please, you, not only are you supporting KSFR, you're supporting World Women Work, you're supporting Elephants, and you are in for a huge, huge treat. And I have to say that I think the film that is being shown, Shark Water, I hate to take away from anything about elephants. I'm not sure exactly what it is about sharks, but I met somebody in Montana last week who had seen it and said it was incredible. And I do just have to say something about my son, who is a great surfer and who has done a couple of incredible surfing films.
So you just said Shark Water and Great Surfer in the same sentence. That's a little scary.
That was really scary. Anyway, he had a run-in with a great white shark.
Good heavens.
I'd say that he's a pretty incredible person, from sharks to elephants. Please get those tickets.
If I had had a run-in with a shark, I think I would go to land right away myself, ladies and gentlemen. 4281393. In the just couple of minutes that remain, Singer Rankin, tell us about World Women Work, of which you are the founder and director.
World Women Work is a nonprofit in support of women and endangered species. And when I say women, I mean basically girls and young women. We provide scholarships in Kenya, Tanzania, Nepal, and Bhutan. I think I've basically been just doing a count for a new website. I think I've 250 scholarships so far, which is quite amazing, and also support women doing incredible work with endangered species, one being Katie Payne, who is in this film, who is the elephant communication expert, an amazing woman in Sabah working with orangutans, and now Lek. So, we do it by buying beautiful things made by women, mostly in the Himalayas and Africa, and have sales, and all the proceeds go to women and conservation.
So there's basically no administrative skim off the top. You work
nope.
as a volunteer, and everything goes back to the countries, to the women.
Yep.
And this is World Women Work. We will be talking about this sometime more in the future here on KSFR. We've just got 1 minute left before we go. We want to thank Peck Ewer so much for being with us and spending the whole hour on the phone. He is the filmmaker whose film Losing the Elephants screens at the Rivers and Birds International Wildlife Film Festival this coming Friday night, and only this Friday night at the Lensic. Thank you so much, Peck, for spending all this time here.
No problem. Pleasure.
And Singer Rankin is the founder and director of World Women Work and the generous donor of these tickets, which, if they haven't gone yet, ladies and gentlemen...
One pair left.
We've got one pair left.
And a thank you to Anna.
And thank you, Anna. And those tickets, that one pair left, has your name on it, 4281393. And make your contribution to public radio. We wouldn't come on the air every 6 months and talk about it at so much length and in so much detail if you would just call. I mean, the fundraiser would be over in the next 15 minutes if everybody listening right now would call. So make that call. Let's end the fund drive. Let's get back to our regular programming full-time. Low commercial, no commercial, commercial-free radio, KSFR 90.7 FM. My name is Mary Charlotte. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org.
Adios, Mary Charlotte.
Adios. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds. Thanks to Dale Dierman. Thanks to everybody in the control room and in the volunteers room for being with us today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Good Morning Jazz with John Greenspan. Once again, Singer Rankin, thanks so much for joining us
this
hour.
Thank you.
And we will be here tomorrow. Make your contributions now. Snap up that last pair of tickets. And we will see you mañana. Ciao. Thank you.